Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today. Indulge in the past with History on the Rocks, the podcast that brings you the fascinating tales of lesser-known history while you get ready for the weekend with your favorite drink in hand. Join Cody and Audrey as they uncork the stories that time forgot. From famous people like George Washington and his distillery to pirate queens causing mayhem on the high seas, each episode is a journey through the ages with endless possibilities. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram to keep up with the news about the latest episodes. So grab a glass, enjoy, relax, and join us every Thursday for History on the Rocks, the History on the Rocks podcast, where you'll learn about the past while sipping in the present. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. That's History on the Rocks. Learn about the past while sipping in the present.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in 3 Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. If Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose, and he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
Oh, as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I am your host, JP Jampaz. With me today, returning guest, very special guest, former WCW superstar known as Glacier. He is, of course, Ray Lloyd. Ray, welcome back. How you doing?
Thank you, John. Man, it's good to be back, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing very good. Now, I'm pretty excited. I know you're very excited. Your new movie's finally come back. Because the last time you were on, we were talking about it, but it wasn't out there yet.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's been a long, long journey for us. And, you know, just to kind of catch people up, it's a excuse me, a feature film called The Unbreakable Bunch. And we're really excited. We were able to build a partnership with one of the largest theater chains in the country, and Imagine Entertainment Theaters. And we're getting ready to have our theatrical release starting next weekend, April 19th, in a few of their locations. And we can talk a little bit about more of that as we get into things.
Now, what is the movie about? Break it down for me.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it is, first of all, it's a film that that my producing partner, Luther Wilson, and who wrestled during his wrestling days as Luther Biggs. And we actually met back at the power plant in 1996 and became fast friends then, and was have been great friends ever since. And this is actually an idea of his that started way, way back in the day. And then we started talking, and we basically built it into this story where this group of veteran wrestlers comes back together for this one last tour to raise money to help a friend out. And it's the age old story of there's a certain amount of money that needs to be raised in a certain amount of time. There's the ticking clock, so to speak, And so, yep. So we come back together for a good cause, and we get on the road. We all go back to work for a promoter we all swore we never worked for again, but we do it for a bigger reason. And so we go out on the tour, and then there's actually two stories that the viewer sees with the film. It's obviously that story, which is, the veteran wrestlers come back together. And then there's another story that is happening that like I said, the as far as the viewer gets to see, the story kind of jumps back and forth to there's a small Florida town that's been overtaken by this alien presence. And eventually we end up on our tour circling back through Florida, and we end up in this small town on a day off. And then that's where the two worlds kind of collide. And all of a sudden we have this choice to be made, like whether, we turn and get out of there, or we stand and fight with the town. And of course, you can imagine which one we choose to do. Yeah. So I'll tell you, it's and I can't remember if I said this before, but it's basically Luther and I both are really big fans of the ensemble movies, ensemble cast movies of like the 60s and 70s, like the original Magnificent Seven, even in the remake. Of course, I actually love the remake too, with Denzel and Chris Pratt. Magnificent Seven, Wild Bunch, The Dirty Dozen, The Longest Yard, which is the original Burt Reynolds film that he did, was actually an ensemble cast film as well, which we loved, and we drew from all of those. And so, and obviously, growing up in the time where we did in the 80s, when there were, John Carpenter really came onto the scene with Halloween first, and then Escape from New York and the remake of The Thing. We're both big, big fans of John Carpenter movies. And of course, the one that the wrestling world, I think, remembers the most is They Live, starring, yes, wrestling's very own Roddy Piper. And so what we decided to do was take a movie that that basically, I always say, it's Magnificent Seven meets They Live. And what if those two worlds met? And so we basically, also being big fans of the movies, the what I call the kind of 80s B movie style action sci-fi films from that era. Mainly there was a group called the Cannon Film Group that back in the 80s that really their films are the ones that made Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris stars. Those are the movies that the Cannon Film Group is the one that kind of got those got them going. And those kind of action adventure films that we really liked, and we wanted to kind of create something that was kind of a tip of the hat to that era of movie making, and just do something that was a fun ride for the wrestling audience. We there's been a lot of wrestling movies out there, but I don't necessarily think that there's a lot of wrestling movies that we can say where at the end of the day, if you love wrestling like we do, whether it's a fan or whether you're in the business, is there's not a lot of movies that really paint wrestling in a really good light, so to speak. It's either the dark side or it's too campy. And I get it. I mean, those movies, obviously, there's stories there that have their place, and I totally get that. But Luther and I, we just got frustrated. There was not any movie out there that really made you feel good about being someone who loved pro wrestling. And we wanted to make a movie like that. And we didn't really think, we got tired of waiting. And we didn't really know if anybody else would do it right the way we felt it should be done right. And so, we had a lot of things fell into place, a lot of hard work and patience and determination to not give up, got us through this journey. And at the end of the day, here we are. We're finally, after almost a 5-year journey, finally getting ready to put it out there for the world to see. And it's a movie that we honestly made for people who love professional wrestling. And like I said, either you're a fan or you're in the business, we want something that when people watch it, they feel good about loving professional wrestling. And we tried to show the side of the business that's, you know, the side where there's, the overwhelming majority of our business, there's a lot of good people in our business. And typically people hear about the bad stories and the controversial stories because those tend to, catch people's eye and ear. But there's a lot of great people in our business. And we wanted to show that side of the industry and that a lot of people know, but it was never really put into a feature film. And we feel like we did a pretty good job of that.
Who else is in it? Because I think that's what people are going to do. Love about it. That's what I think.
Well, I tell you what, we actually, when we set out to do this, we thought, well, we might as well go big, if we're going to try to do this. So we got, an ensemble star cast of professional wrestlers, Hall of Fame wrestlers, legendary wrestlers, and some other legendary athletes, too. And just before I even get into the wrestlers, we had two-time World Heavyweight Boxing champ, Pinklin Thomas, who actually lives right here in Orlando. He does a cameo in the film, which is just awesome. He did an amazing job. Another good friend of mine in Luther, two-time Olympic gold medalist swimmer, Steve Lundquist. He makes an appearance in the movie, makes a nice little cameo for us. But as far as wrestling goes, there's three Hall of Fame wrestlers from, Diamond Dallas Page to, Stan Hansen, the living legend, Larry Zbysko. My tag team partner is still one of my closest friends to this day, Ernest the Cat Miller. And of course, Luther and I have really great roles in the film that we enjoyed, but Gangrel, David Heath has a great role in the film too. And I certainly want to give some, a little bit of information about the film, but I certainly don't want to spoil anything, to give away too much, but also, believe it or not, AEW fans, Anna Jay makes a great appearance in the movie and it was something we actually filmed before she signed with AEW. So that's kind of cool. You get to see her in a little bit of an acting debut, and last but not least, we have, the legendary Tonga Fifita, which the wrestling world knows is either Haku or Ming when he was with us in WCW. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the poster yet, the movie poster, but it's, he's right there in the middle as he should be because, as I always say, he's the baddest cat in the jungle, he is in our movie too. But also, and Big Ron Reese, who if anybody remembers back from the WCW days, he was in Raven's Flock. Most people affectionately know him as a Yeti, his infamous moment in WCW. And Ron is he's one of our great, great friends, just big, lovable guy. And he has an amazing role in the film. And so it's a real fun ride. And just one of the obvious things that I saw when we first put the trailer out, the full trailer here recently, and people saw the poster and they were asking, they were like, everybody was commenting like, Tonga doesn't need a gun. Why does Tonga have a gun? And all I will say about that is, John, is, I want people to just think that nobody knows Tonga better than us because we've been friends with him and worked with him for over 20 something years now. So if there's a picture of Tonga with a gun in our movie, trust me, there's a really good reason for Tonga to have a gun. But I will promise you this, we will not let the fans down. There's plenty of action with Tonga where he doesn't have a gun in his hands and you get to see Tonga do what Tonga does best. So trust me, there's a good equal balance here, I promise.
You know what? To me too, which is so funny. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, why does Haku have a gun? And now I got to see what the hell's going on. Why does he need a gun?
Exactly. It's also, the premise of the story really is, okay, you take this group of wrestling veterans who are guys who are, they're all like family to each other. And that was a big thing for us to present that these guys are, they're a bunch of good guys. They care about each other. They love each other like family, and they'll do anything for each other. And so that's when we really describe the theme of the movie. We have been able to come up with like three words that we feel really describes the theme of the movie, and that is camaraderie, loyalty, and friendship. And that's something that I don't think a wrestling movie has ever really shown, that you have a group of guys who, yeah, they're big, tough guys, but they're also, they're good, guys who have good hearts. They do the right thing when it's time to do that, when they have decisions to make, they do the right thing because of who they are. And we felt that there was a movie that basically, you know, the general audience also could enjoy watching, because there's a makings of a love story in this movie. There's a lot of layers to the characters in the story. I promise you, you get tons of professional wrestling action in this movie. We certainly wouldn't leave that out. And there's a lot of great action of us, you know, with where we're kicking and punching, and there's gunfire and there's explosions. But the reason why we wanted all that to come together in the film is because we said to ourselves, okay, we know what we could do as a movie with a bunch of pro wrestlers if we threw them in a movie that was a pro wrestling movie. But we wanted to make a movie that maybe was a little bit different. And so we thought, okay, what if you had a group of professional wrestlers who you know, they know they'll stand arm in arm against anybody or anything. What happens if all of a sudden they find themselves in this world that they never expected to be in? How would they handle that? You know, I've seen some comments too, like, you know, when we put the trailer up, people were like, well, like, you know, yeah, I wonder if they're, you know, will they use wrestling moves in the fight scenes and stuff like that? Well, one, you have to check out the movie to see, but I will say this as well, that of course, you know, if that seemed like it would make sense, and there's times when that stuff's in the movie, but also when you're fighting for your life, sometimes you wouldn't actually do a wrestling move. You kick and punch for, so there's, you get a bunch of that too. But, and I always like to say too, that with the way that we film the action in the movie, always being big fans of the action films from the, you know, days like John Wayne, the big, you know, people always say the big John Wayne type fight scenes, the big Western fight scenes. And Luther and I both being big fans of Burt Reynolds, and we both not only got to know Burt Reynolds, but work with him some, which was, and learn from him, which was amazing to us, is, you know, we wanted to kind of pay homage to the types of movies that those guys made. And when you see these wrestlers, you know, they're big burly guys, you know, and so the way that they would fight is certainly not the same that you would see maybe like a Jason Bourne type fight scene, you know. So we wanted to make it true to how these guys would actually handle that. And I came up with a saying recently. It was just kind of popped in my head, as I always say, as far as when these guys are fighting, you know, the aliens and whatever else, is it's the fight, the way that their fighting style is more John Wayne than John Wick. You know?
So, yes, yes.
But I promise you, it's still very entertaining. You know, obviously I've got a strong martial arts background. I do a little bit of that. Ernest's character, certainly, you know, he's known worldwide for his kicks and punches, and I promise you get to see him do a lot of that too. So I think it's a really well written movie, like I said, with a lot of layers. We really want to make a movie where early on, as you get introduced to the characters, you care about the characters, because if you don't care about them, you know, the story is not going to be as interesting or fun. So we really try to lay the foundation of the first part of the movie to introduce the characters, give everybody their moment, so the audience knows who these guys are and why should you care about them. You know, because it's the two simple questions you should ask in the wrestling world too, is, you know, who are you and why should I care about you? So we constantly ask that question, like, who's this character and why does the audience care about them? You know, and so we took a lot of our wrestling mentality into the movie, as far as the, you know, the characters and the heart of the characters, and the physicality of the characters. I feel like we hit the mark pretty darn good, and the audience, I'm sure, is going to let us know. But just know this, and I go back to it, is what kept us going, John, was we just wanted to make a movie that we knew, you know, that we felt would be something that people who love professional wrestling the way we do would enjoy. That would be a fun ride for them, and something they could, you know, proud to say to their buddy, "Hey, you know what? I watched the Unbreakable Bunch, and man, it was a fun ride. You ought to check it out." You know, yep. so that's our goal.
Now, is Glacier going to make an appearance in this, or is that maybe a surprise or a spoiler?
This is one of the things that I was really big on, and Luther always laughed at me throughout the whole thing, because to him, I don't think it's necessarily such a big thing, but I'm a real big advocate of, I love, because I'm a big film buff. And of course, the process of this, becoming a producer and stuff, I've looked at films in a totally different way. I love, you know, those little hidden moments that are, you know, in films that, you know, that, you know, fans, you know, might see that the general audience might not get. And I made a big point to, and we both did, you know, to put some Easter eggs, so to speak, in the film, where the wrestling fans will hopefully see some of those. And so I will say this, yes, there might quite possibly be a nice tip of the hat to Glacier in the movie somewhere. I'll just leave it at that. You know?
So Where will it? Where can people get out there and see it? Where's the big push?
Yeah, we partner with the Imagine Entertainment Theaters, and they are they're one of the top 10 biggest theater companies in the United States. And we're very, very excited, very proud to be a part. And they're up in the Midwest area, so they're in Michigan, Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And you can go to their website, which is Google Imagine Entertainment Theaters, and their website is Imagine with an E, imagine-entertainment.com. But I can send you a link, John, if you want to share it. Yeah. And I know that we're opening Friday, April 19th. We're opening in three of their big locations. There's one in Canton, Michigan, which is in Detroit area right there, and then one in Lakeville, Minnesota, and one in Portage, Indiana. And the times, there's I think there's five show times a day. It's starting from lunchtime to the late 7 and 9 p.m. showings. And another thing too is that we wanted to make a movie that, these types of movies have, there's a certain time that these types of movies tend to do well, and that's typically about an hour and a half. So we made sure our movie comes in right about an hour and a half, so that people the story gets told, and we take people on a fun ride, but we don't try to keep them there all night either. So that's one of the things. There's a certain formula to that has worked for a long time, and we tried to stick to that as far as the film. But yeah, it's Imagine Entertainment Theaters, and of course, on our social media, if you go to theunbreakablebunchmovie.com, that's our website. And we're very, very fortunate to get Robert McLaren, who is Diamond Dallas Page's webmaster for all of his stuff. And he's a great friend of mine. And he put our website together. And of course, all of our social media icons are on there. But if you just Google anything the Unbreakable Bunch Movie, that's our social media, basically, moniker there that you can find everything. YouTube channel, please go and like and watch our our full trailer, and please like it, because the more likes we get, the more eyes we get on the product. It just makes it a better argument for us to try to go into more theaters. If we have the bigger the following, the better it is for us to negotiate to go into other theaters as well. And our goal is to get it into as many as we can after this opening weekend. And we're really, really excited. We can't thank Imagine Entertainment enough for partnering with us, because independent films our size typically don't get a theatrical release, and we're just over the moon excited that we actually will be on the big screen, which is how we felt like this movie should be enjoyed. So anyone who's, I promise you, if you're a pro wrestling fan, if you're a sci-fi fan, if you're an action adventure fan, I promise you this movie is worth your time. And also, it's very important for me to just make sure I mention to John, I think we talked about this before, is, we were very big on making sure there were a few things that we did in the movie to make it to where just about anybody could come watch the movie and enjoy it. There's literally no profanity in the movie. There's no what I call over the top gross humor. What I mean by that, there's no projectile vomiting and things like that in the movie. I know that has its place in some movies, but it didn't fit into ours. So we, and it wasn't that we purposely left it out. It just didn't fit into the story. So we don't have any of that. We don't have, there's no over the top violence. All the action we have is there, and it's fun action. I mean, there's really in the movie where, if there's gunfire going on, it's either we're shooting at the aliens or aliens shooting at us. There's no humans killing humans in the movie, And I will say this, if you would just do us the honor of watching the trailer, if you watch the trailer and you feel like there's nothing in the trailer that will bother you, I promise you there's nothing in the full version of the film that's any more intense than what you see in the trailer. So I just wanted people to know that we really, really took a lot of time and effort, and we tried to follow certain guidelines because we wanted to make it a movie that everybody could sit down and enjoy. And we hope that everybody does. So, but I always like to mention those parameters because, certain things like that sometimes do affect whether people decide to see a movie or not. And also the last thing that I'd like to mention just before I forget is it was really important to us to, like, when I go to my character, Jock Holliday, goes to recruit, everybody to come back on the road. It's kind of, if you've ever seen The Magnificent Seven, in a lot of movies, and if you see any of the Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, they do the same thing. They always recruit the team. Yep. But one of the things that we had an obstacle that with just about all of our writers, which they all contributed, you know, greatly to the project. But, you know, just based on a lot of times what they had seen from wrestling related movies, they instinctively wanted to write the characters, you know, sometimes kind of down and out. And we said, like, no, we're not going to do that. When I want these characters, Luther and I both want the characters to be presented in a way where they've all had their time in the sun, so to speak, in wrestling. And they've gone on to doing other things now. They're all, you can see in the movie, they're all still connected very much to wrestling. But the one thing that I wanted that Luther and I were very adamant on is that when I go to recruit them, each person is painted, they're successful in their own right, whatever they've done, decided to do with their lives at this point. And that was just really important to us, because if you've been a wrestling fan like us, John, you know, and I'm always saying I'm a fan first, is, you know, I just feel like, you know, you that's always the easy way to go, is you show the wrestler who's down and out, you know, and who, you know, who's, you know, not, you know, is down on his luck, so to speak. And obviously that's certainly reality in any story, but we wanted to make sure that we painted everybody in a realistic, you know, fashion, but still that these guys are all successful, and anything they do in wrestling, they do because they choose to still be involved in it because they love it. And that was just really important to us, to present the characters that way from the very beginning.
What was your favorite part about filming with the guys?
Oh God. You know what? Just us getting back together. Just like if we were, when we get together on the road, that was, and I knew I'd enjoy it, but I had no idea how much I really would enjoy all of us being together. And because, you know, we really handpicked, you know, every wrestler that we handpicked for this, there was a very specific reason why. It's, and yes, you know, all of these are great friends of mine and Luther's, but they all brought very specific skills to the film that we needed. And I knew they'd all be professional. I knew they'd all get along with each other. I knew that they would all come in and the work ethic would be what we needed it to be. And they all just, you know, I always say I was looking for them to hit a home run. They all hit a grand slam, you know, for us. And, but, nice. But the, just us coming back together, some of my favorite stories from this whole process are stories of us when we were back together on the set, just kind of, you know, kind of catching our breath in between sets or in between takes. Sometimes, you know, the last third of the movie takes place at night, because obviously a gunfire battle with explosions looks better at night than it does at day. So, but when you're filming, you know, nights, you have to film from sundown to sun up. And I think we did, I think it was 13 out of 16 days. You know, we shot, you know, nights. I mean, and which is, you know, to do two or three is hard. I mean, we did a lot of nights. And but just to see everybody's spirits, you know, everybody stayed in a great mood. Everyone was there. They just gave us everything they had. But just that camaraderie, that we all experienced, and the friendship that we experienced personally during this whole journey, that was making a movie is hard. I mean, it's a lot of hard work. You know, John Carpenter always says, making a movie is an act of courage. and that was the thing I had the most fun with, and I was most proud of, was having everybody come back together. And seeing like how the crew, how everybody was respectful of the crew, and how the crew and everybody with the other cast was respectful of the wrestlers. Because, you know, you can imagine if people who haven't worked with pro wrestlers in what they hear, like, oh my gosh, what are these guys going to be like, you know? and everybody yep. came in, and it was just an amazing experience. And it's one that I'll remember forever. I'm hoping we have the opportunity to continue making, movies, you know, with this group, which, you know, things look very good for that to possibly happen. So hopefully this is the first step towards you know, the audience seeing a whole lot more of the Unbreakable Bunch.
I hope so too, for sure. Before we get even more into maybe some more Unbreakable Bunch, I got to ask you this, because obviously you are a very big proponent of Cody Rhodes. You're in his corner.
Yeah.
What do you think about Cody Rhodes finishing this story at WrestleMania 40 over in Philly for the WWE?
I just think it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, you know, I was on another podcast earlier this week, and we were talking about it, and they asked me, they said, like, what was your reaction, you know, right when he won? And I said, you know, I said, I was just sitting there, and I just smiled. You know, I just smiled, because, you know, I mean, he's definitely earned that right, you know, and just being close to the family, you know, and just seeing, you know, what Cody has, you know, what, how hard he's worked, how much he believed in himself, how much he bet on himself. You've heard everybody say that, but you know, I was fortunate enough. I got to see a lot of that firsthand, and you know, he was, he's very determined, very driven. He wasn't going to be denied. And he willed himself into that position, and it, to the point to where, you know, I heard Steve Martin say a great quote one time, you know, where he just says, you know, be so good they can't ignore you. And I feel like that was what Cody did. He went away, he kind of, you know, retooled what he felt like needed to kind of be retooled. He evolved into, this persona and this professional, you know, as he, you know, helped create AEW and launch all that. And then of course his journey back to WWE. Timing really is everything. And it certainly feels like it's his time. And I hope that his run is a long and fruitful one. It certainly looks like that he is quickly becoming the face of WWE. And I'm not just saying this. I can't imagine anyone else doing it better than him right now. I really can't. And obviously the powers that be see the same thing. I'm just happy as I could be. I wish him the best. I mean, I'm just so thrilled. I'm so thrilled for him.
He finally got to finish the story, yeah. Which great 2-year story for Cody.
Yes. I think everyone who was disappointed, you know, a year ago when it didn't happen, including me, you know, I feel like, you know, having this extra year to really add some more chapters to that story, add some more layers to the story, made it even better. It really did. And the old saying is, you know, good things come to those who wait, you know, and what I mean that being the fans had to kind of wait and see what was going to happen and what was going to play out. And it was nice to see too, that WWE, listened to the fans, you know, they listened to the fans and how the fans reacted, what the fans wanted. And obviously when the powers that be in wrestling, you know, they steer that ship based on, you know, what they think are the best things, you know, as far as the whole big picture. It's obviously like, you know, it was just time. All the boxes were checked. It was the time. And the audience, I go back. I was just telling someone this yesterday. You go back and you watch right when Charles Robinson counts three. Watch the audience behind them. And, you know, just see so many people. They stand up and they're going. And in that moment, it's very real. It's very authentic. And we just, you know, in wrestling, and it's us too. Like I said, I'm always a fan first, you know, because I love to take myself out of being, you know, the wrestling veteran and just try to focus on being a fan first, you know, and just being a fan. And for whatever reason, I've always been able to kind of do that. But we don't get a lot of real moments anymore. Where people really, really feel it, and they allow themselves to just let go and be in that world and really, really emotionally invest. And you got to see that in that moment. And I think that's what makes it even more special, is because we all know we don't get those moments as much as we'd like to anymore.
Yep.
So when we do get them, it's really special. And here we are. That's why, you know, this week has been, you know, such a great, you know, post WrestleMania week. I mean, there's a lot of people still buzzing about this thing, which is awesome. And it's a testament to how real the moment was, you know, to not only to Cody, but to everyone in that arena, everybody watching around the world. I just think it was awesome. Like, you know, the time was right. The time was right. And the wrestling world got to have a very, very special moment. And that's just really, really cool.
Thought that was a great ending. Hey, the announcer was even crying when she was announcing the win. Michael Cole, I saw, had like tears in his eyes a little bit when he hugged Cody. It seemed like, you know, it's real to me, damn it, as the legendary David Wills said. But yeah, it's like it was real to them. It's crazy that how many people want to see him legitimately finish the story.
Yeah, and speaking of David Wills, you know, because David has become kind of a celebrity in his own right, people need to be on the lookout because David Wills may make a little appearance somewhere in the movie there. So I'll leave it at that. You know,
nice. It's still real to me. Damn it. Yes. Nice. But Cody was great. Did you text or call him? Congratulate him. Did you hear back from Cody since that
week? Well, you know what? I haven't yet. And it's just because I know I haven't reached out to him yet just because I know how crazy it's going to be for a while, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, there'll be a time when I get a chance to, you know, to communicate with him but that's the great thing about, you know, having a relationship with, you know, Cody and the Rhodes family. And you know, I had a chance to see Dustin, you know, a few weeks ago it's just that, you know, whenever that time comes, it'll still be just as special. And, you know, when in a moment like this, when I mean, everybody in the whole world is trying to get a moment of him, you know, I can certainly sit back and wait. And I know whenever I get a chance to catch up with him, it'll be just as special. So, you know, I patience is a virtue. So. Yes.
So. Did you see that Nick Khan and Triple H bought Cody Rhodes the watch back that Dusty had sold and pawned off
to send it back to
school? I thought that was really nice touch as well.
Yeah, I thought it was too. I thought that was really, really cool. And, you know, that's a story. Had Cody talked publicly about that? I don't know if he had or not.
In his documentary, he had mentioned that there was a watch that his dad always promised he would hand to him if he won the title. But then he goes, well, he pawned it off so I can go to acting school. And that didn't work out. So that was kind of the end of it. So he thought.
Yeah. And that was all during, you know, that time of Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling at TCW, you know, you know, of course we were all working for Dusty there, and I was fortunate enough to, you know, basically kind of be Dusty's right-hand guy during that period. And you can imagine, I mean, yeah, I grew up Dusty Rhodes and Evil Knievel were my two heroes, you know? and that's always been, you know, my stance ever since I was a kid. And you ask anybody who I grew up with, that's, you know, I grew up in Brunswick, Georgia, just above the Florida line, right above Jacksonville. So I grew up on championship wrestling from Florida and Georgia championship wrestling, and those mainly Florida, but some in Georgia. That's where Dusty, you know, lived and breathed, you know. So I got a chance to see him firsthand and work with him in WCW. And when he started TCW, to have been asked to come in and be a part of what he was doing and actually kind of become, as he would say, his lieutenant, it's special beyond words. But during that time, you know, Cody came in and trained as a referee and refereed it in the beginning. And Cody's high school wrestling coach, Steve Day, who coached him the two state championships, is still one of my very best friends to this day. And so, you know, I got to see Cody. You know, he was at Lasker. After I left WCW, I went because of Steve. He offered me a position teaching at Lasker High School, and so I went back to teaching and coaching football and actually coaching lacrosse, which at the time I knew nothing about. but it allowed me to work with Dusty full time and help build TCW, and it was just great to see, you know, Cody come around and was around that environment some, you know, and I remember, you know, the time when you know Teal and Cody together, you know, decided to go out to California and, you know, pursue acting which I think was awesome, because at a young age to say, hey, I know I want to go, you know, pursue this and to have the full support of Dusty and Michelle, I think was awesome. And that's just part of the story that a lot of people didn't know. I mean, that's, you know, it's a parent making a sacrifice for their child who they know has a passion to do something. And, you know, and it just speaks to the person that Dusty was, you know, a very selfless thing, very unselfish thing to do. Because, you know, I'm sure, you know, he was thinking, I have this material thing that fails in comparison to, you know, my kids, but if this material thing can help me fund, you know, their vision, then that's what I'll do. And it seems like that's what he did, which I think was awesome.
Yeah, he sold that, you know, $10,000 Rolex watch so his kid could go to act school. That's just an awesome story that they bought it back for. Very cool stuff. And obviously the whole finish the story thing was so he could hand the belt to his mom, because obviously his dad's not around anymore, Dusty passed. Right. So, yeah. I mean, just really cool. I just like the homage to Dusty.
Yeah, you know, and I think they did a great job of balancing it out where, you know, Cody kind of, you know, made that clear in the beginning that, you know, he was doing this for his wife and for his daughter and his, you know, his mom and, you know, and of course for Dusty, but, you know, I so admire that Cody, I think, found that perfect balance of, you know, through this whole story to still honor the legacy of his dad, but still tell his story. And that is, I can't imagine how incredibly hard that would be to balance, especially in this day and age, you know, and keep that, you know, to where keep on track of the story you're trying to tell, but still, you know, pay tribute to the legacy of your dad. So I think he did an amazing job with that as well.
Do you think he's the guy now? Roman Reigns maybe put to the background, or maybe he's going to be away. Is Cody going to be the guy?
You know what? That I don't know, John. That's one of the great things about, you know, like, you know, in the wrestling, like there's certain things like with Cody and, you know, some of the other friends I've had that are, you know, going on to have that success. Like when Dallas, you know, there were times when Dallas, you know, back in our WCW days, as close as I was to Dallas, there were times when what was going on between him and Macho Man, like, I would never ask, hey man, what are we doing? What are you guys doing in the next few weeks? You know? because there was a part of me that didn't want to know. I kind of wanted to watch it play out like everybody else. And that's kind of the same thing with Cody. I like to sit back and just, you know, like everybody else, try to watch it play out. As I said before, John, I mean, there's that old saying, you know, that winners, when the game's on the line, winners want the ball, you know, and Cody's a winner. And so if this is the game and it's on the line as far as building this new era of WWE, which I absolutely love that the way that they've painted that picture so far. I mean, I think he's the guy that you give the ball to. I definitely believe that.
I feel like, man, what a weekend for him. The Rock tag match, the Roman Reigns win. Just, man, he's got to be on top of the world. Two main events in a row, two awesome matches, 145,000 people. And I don't know if you read this, supposedly $1 million in merch for a week.
I saw that.
For him. That's crazy. You know, that's an alarming.
I'm sure he's going to, you know, he's going to enjoy seeing that quarterly royalty check.
Imagine if it's even only 25% or whatever, like, well, I forget the number of the royalty, but I know for top guys it's higher. So imagine if it's like 25%. Like, imagine getting that check, like, holy crap.
And you know what I love about that too, John, is the fact that in this day and age of all this high tech stuff that we have, you know, when you watch, you know, wrestling and with WWE, the way they do all the graphics, if you're watching, you know, from home or watching on TV anywhere, you see all these great graphics and everything, which I think is awesome. You know, it's great how we're taking that technology and making it work for pro wrestling as well. But at the end of the day, you know, people are still buying t-shirts, you know, they're still buying, you know, caps and anything else that have the weight belts that have that logo on it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I think Cody has been a real visionary too, as far as merchandise, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I mean, any public figure, you know, who's, you know, smart with the way they present themselves, they'll have merchandise that people want to buy. And Cody, you know, he's, you know, the idea of the weight belt, I thought, was just absolute genius. Yeah. But the t-shirts, and you continue to make the logos. You know, he worked hard to create that original logo of his. That is so cool. And you have the great thing about WWE, that machine. I mean, they have very, very creative minds who can take that stuff and continue to create other pieces of merchandise that we haven't even probably thought of yet. So good for him. Good for him. Good for the wrestling world. You know, it's just and that's why, honestly, like, we were originally with the film, we were looking to release it around October, and then we actually decided to kind of hold off a little bit to really secure the distribution deal we wanted. But and then as things progressed, we got closer and closer to WrestleMania. We're like, you know, we don't want to. I mean, nothing wants to try to, you know, compete with that, you know. So we thought, what's the best way to present this? Okay, well, why don't we look to come out after it? Because, you know, this is WrestleMania is basically the Super Bowl for the wrestling fan, you know, and everybody will still be talking about wrestling. Everybody will still be, you know, have wrestling on their mind. And we felt like if we can come out after that, then hopefully that helps us. But I don't think anybody imagined that we'd still be talking about wrestling the way we are right now because of, you know, basically because of Cody's victory and, you know, becoming the new champion. I mean, I think everybody kind of thought they knew how big that moment might be, but no one really knew until it happened. And which I just think is, once again, it's just an awesome, awesome thing for the professional wrestling world across the board. And just, you know, makes people feel good about loving professional wrestling. And that's what drove us to make this movie and make a movie like this is same thing, just to make people feel good about loving professional wrestling. And so I'm beyond words, happy and excited for Cody. And like I said, I mean, Cody's a winner through and through. And I think he's still, and I said this to when I was on this podcast I did earlier this week, I feel like as great as this moment was, I feel like some of Cody's greatest moments of his career still haven't happened yet, you know, and that's exciting. That's exciting because he's had some great moments so far, and it's going to be tough to beat this moment from this past weekend. But Cody's the kind of person who's going to push, and he's going to continue to still, you know, serve the people because that's what we do. We you know, we go out and we, you know, you're fighting champion, you know, which I'm excited to see how much Cody defends the title, because I know Cody's the type of person, if they wanted him to defend it every day, he would, you know. Right. So I'm excited to see how his journey from here. And it's like anything else, you know, that one part, that one story, you know, is basically we've seen the whole journey of that. Now the next chapter of the story begins, and I'm super excited to see that, as I think that most people are.
When you look at, like we're saying, Cody, but you know, the movie. Yeah. So I'm thinking like wrestling and acting and kind of meshing those worlds together. Is that easier, acting and doing that stuff because of wrestling? Because it seems like that's like a natural transition or an easy fit for a wrestler just to go do acting. Or am I crazy on that?
No, you know what? I mean, I think as far as action scenes go, that's where, you know, a lot of the pro wrestling personas and stuff, where what you learn in pro wrestling comes into play there, because you know you're still, everything's big and exaggerated like it is in a wrestling ring. But other than that, when you're doing scenes where you're talking, you're just doing dialogue, it's completely different, because now, you know, everything that's in the frame is, you basically have to dial everything back, because any movement that's not supposed to be there is a distraction. So, you know, and even when there's a close-up, if you're blinking too much, if it's a dramatic scene and you're trying to get a point across, if you're blinking too much, it kills the intensity of the scene. So having to also be aware of that, and because I always say, like, acting for the camera and acting for the audience can typically be two totally different things. So, but that being said, honestly, John, like, the things that Luther and I knew is that when Ernest and Tonga and Larry and Stan and Dallas, when they showed up, I knew they'd know their lines. I knew that they put in the work. I knew that they wouldn't be hard to work with. And they all showed up and did everything beyond what we could have hoped for, because they're professionals, they're pros. But that is a very hard thing. Most people think, well, yeah, of course they could do great. They you know, they're wrestling. They've been acting, you know, people like you say, they've been acting their whole lives. Yes, but when you're acting in front of the camera for a feature film, it's totally different. I mean, because any kind of unnecessary movement is a distraction. So, but they all did great. And I always like to say with Tonga, I mean, you know, Tonga has that, that everything Tonga does is very deliberate, you know, and which is, to me, is just so cool, because that's just, I mean, any movement he does is there's a reason for it. And so a lot of that shows in his character in the movie. You know, he's not someone who, he doesn't, you know, in real life, he doesn't suffer fools. And in this movie, his character doesn't suffer fools. But I will say, I mean, you know, there's times when, you know, we needed each one of the characters to have comedic timing, and, you know, and they all hit their mark there. So yeah, I mean, and real quick, just to kind of, you know, give a reason that I felt like that we were able to do that was because, you know, we were our original director, Rob Prago, actually, you know, who has a very good acting resume himself. You know, that was one of his missions. He's like, you know, we We need, you know, great actors in these other non-wrestling roles. And so that, you know, as they say, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships, you know. So yes, if we surround, you know, if we can do our part well and the other actors do their part well, it'll raise everybody's level of performance. And we did. And, you know, Julia Denton, who was our female lead, she plays the Amanda Burroughs, the main character, is an amazing, amazing actress. I mean, she's played opposite of Paul Rudd. She's played opposite of Jennifer Aniston. I mean, we really, I think people are going to really be surprised, you know, because of the level of acting in the film. Because obviously, like, you know, when people, they hear pro wrestling versus aliens, they're like, oh, come on, wait a minute. Yeah. But you know, the guy who plays the kind of shady promoter in the movie is a gentleman named Adam Minarovich. And if, for people who are, you know, fans of The Walking Dead, they'll know Adam when they see him because, you know, The Walking Dead ran for what, like 12 seasons or
yeah,
you know, something like that. Well, yep. And you know, the Carol character went all through, I think, from the beginning to the end. One of the first couple of seasons, she had the abusive husband named Ed. And so that was played by Adam Minarovich. And so Adam's in our movie and, you know, he's not a likable character at all in The Walking Dead. And, you know, it's still in our movie. He's still, you know, the shady promoter, but he has a great sense of comedic timing and he shows some of that in the movie and the character. And I think people are really, really going to enjoy watching his performance. And Mark Ashworth, who's an amazing, amazing actor who actually was in the remake of The Magnificent Seven with Denzel and Chris Pratt. He played the role of a preacher in the small town and really great look, is, you know, beard and just has this cool look about him. And he plays kind of the crazy guy in the town who is a conspiracy theorist who everyone thinks is nuts, but really, as we find out, he's, you know, the one who may actually really know what's going on.
Right,
so,
right.
So yeah, so a lot of great actors. Nicholas Logan, who plays the young kind of cocky wrestler, who goes on the tour with us. His character's called Alexander the Great, and Nick's a great, amazing actor. He's done a lot since he did our film, but he's on the current show on AMC called Dark Winds. He was on Queen of the South, the Netflix series that I thought was amazing. So, you know, a lot of great actors in the movie that helped us raise our level of performance and hopefully we helped them. But yeah, I think that's one of the, hopefully a nice surprise that people are going to see in the movie is that, you know, it's the movie shot well, it has great sound, it has great original music. Luther and I have a great friend, country music star Steve Azar, loaned us one of his songs for the movie. So we pulled out all stops, John, on this movie. So I hope people enjoy it.
I love it. Now, as we wind it down, we head towards the finish. Just give a big push for the movie, just as far as not only where everybody can get it, but like why they should see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, if you're a fan of professional wrestling and you're also a sci-fi fan, then this is a movie that brings both of those together for probably the first time that I know of. And if you just want to see a movie that is something that, like I said, that pretty much the whole family can sit down and enjoy together, but also is a real fun ride and can let you hopefully just forget about your problems for an hour and a half, this is a movie to see because there's, like I said, a lot of layers in the movie. There's a lot of great characters, a lot of fun. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of pro wrestling. There's a lot of, like I said, good old fashioned fight scenes and some gunfire and explosions, everything a good action adventure sci-fi film should have. And so I promise you at the end of this movie, I really feel like you won't sit there and say, oh, that you wasted an hour and a half. But hopefully you'll say, man, I thought this was a pretty good movie. Maybe I'll tell somebody to check it out.
Now, where could everybody find The Unbreakable Bunch?
Absolutely. Well, we'll have all the information as far as, you know, with the Imagine Entertainment and the theater locations and all that. It's all on our website, which is theunbreakablebunchmovie.com. And on social media, where it's Facebook, of course, X now, which is, you know, with Twitter, yes, and Instagram, all that, just look for The Unbreakable Bunch Movie and everything pops up under that. Imagine Entertainment Theaters, you can look them up online, but it's Imagine with an E, and their website is imagineentertainment.com. Actually, I'll take that by imagine-entertainment.com, and you can see it there at the locations that it's going to be opening up this coming Friday, April 19th. And but yeah, if the go-to place to find all of the information, you can see the trailers and everything, is our website, which is theunbreakablebunchmovie.com.
Before I let you go, though, I got to ask, give me a favorite, maybe Glacier WCW moment, Blood Runs Cold, because I did love that gimmick. Yeah.
My favorite moment, my favorite match ever in WCW was our Bash at the Beach 97, where it was me and Ernest Miller against Mortis and Wrath with James Vandenberg, Jim Mitchell at ringside. And it was just one of those matches where I feel like, you know, we all try to work to that match to where we feel like everything clicks on all cylinders. And for me and for Ernest, all of us in that match, we felt like that match really had that. Even though, you know, Mortis, you know, kicked the crap out of me with a chain on his foot at the end. but it was, you know, is at that time back then, if you were if you were put on first match on the pay-per-view, you know, you were expected to be the match that set the tone for the pay-per-view. And that's the spot we got on that pay-per-view. And I remember Paul Orndorff was our agent, and we just we went out there, and you know, the crowd just really, really got into the match, and to come back and see how excited, you know, someone who's a legendary figure like Paul Orndorff really be excited and happy with what we did was just an amazing. It was a full circle moment for me as a kid who grew up wrestling and never even thought for real that I'd be in this business, certainly not on this level. To all that to kind of come to fruition was one of the coolest moments of my life and my career. So when people ask me that question, like you did, that seems to be the first thing that comes to mind, because I remember how I felt that night after that match. And you don't get those feelings a lot, you know, in life. And when they come along, boy, you really try to enjoy it, you know. For that moment, that night, you know, and to be a part of, you know, pay-per-view where, you know, Hogan was tagging with Rodman later that night. I mean, everybody was watching wrestling during that period. And it was just, I was so thankful to be able to be a part of all that.
Huge pay-per-view. Yeah. ESPN like crazy because of Rodman. Yeah. Awesome show.
And actually, I'll tell you a little bit of FYI that I may have told this story a couple times before, but I remember that we were kind of working with Rodman some, and when he got there to the arena that night, he actually had forgotten to bring his knee pads. And so I actually said, hey, look, you know, I'm on first. Yeah, I'll get changed and I'll just loan you my knee pads. He was like, all right, yeah. And then he wore the black, you know, NWO t-shirt and black jeans. And so, and I just said to him, I said, all right, deal. Like, I said, here's the deal. I'll loan you my knee pads as long as you autograph them after we're done. He was like, all right. So I loaned Rodman my knee pads for that pay-per-view.
Awesome. You still have those knee pads, the autograph.
You know what? Here's the thing. I had them. I still have the knee pads somewhere, and he signed them with a gold Sharpie. But, you know, you can imagine the material on the knee pads. Over the years, it's long since faded, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But I still have the picture. I have a great picture of me and Kat and, you know, me and Ernest and Hogan and Rodman right after their match and from you know, backstage. And it was a really cool picture, and one that every time I see it. And I just say, too, like, Ernest, you know, Ernest is still one of my best and closest friends to this day. And I'm just so thrilled that that I have friends like him who supported us in this journey of this film, because it has been a long journey. And, you know, like him and Tonga and, you know, Zabisco and Dallas, Stan Hansen. I mean, for people who are fans of Stan Hansen, I tell you what, you want to talk about someone who does not disappoint in this movie? I mean, he is, you know, we met on the set of No Holds Barred, and I promised him if I was ever in a position to make a movie, I'd make sure, you know, I got him in it, and I kept my word, and boy, he really delivered.
So, I love that. I was just thinking about him in No Holds Barred. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. That you were on set with him.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I just learned from watching a video of someone who was analyzing the movie. There's a scene in the underground, you know, fight scene where him and Joe LaDuke, which is what I'm just like an extra kind of in the little crowd area there. It was my first movie I ever worked on. But my friend Rick Allen, Sunny Beach, he got me into working on the movie. But there's a scene in where the guys are the promoters down there sitting at a table with his two henchmen, and there's a cage up above, and there's a little person in the cage throwing peanuts down into the promoter's beer glass of beer. That the person in the cage was Peter Dinklage from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, Dinklage. See,
Peter Dinklage. Yeah.
Peter Dinklage was his first film ever. And I had no idea. I had no idea that was him. All these years, I didn't know it was him. But because he was pretty young then too. Yeah.
So, wow, amazing. What a trivia question. Yeah, damn. Yeah. Nice.
That's a good trivia question. And that's awesome. But Luther and I saw Stan at the WrestleMania that was in Miami. And I think I forget exactly what year that was. But and even then, I remember Stan saying, "Well, Ray, you know, like, because we were just starting to have the idea of maybe doing this." And I remember him just saying there, he's like, "Well, Ray, you know, if it ever becomes a reality, just give me a call. I'd love to be a part of it." And so when I finally got everything in line, I called him and I said, "Stan, yeah, I got a role for you."
And, love that.
And you know, I try to say too, for people like, you know, Stan Hansen is called Stan the Lariat Hansen for a reason. And if we were going to have Stan Hansen in our movie, then just know that, you know, the Lariat, there's a good chance that the Lariat appears somewhere in the movie. So just
love that. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Now, Ray, before we let you go, where can everybody find you as far as your social media and stuff? Are you out there?
Yeah. I'm pretty much just under Glacier Ray Lloyd. Which you can find me, you know, typically I'm like, you know, most older people, John, I'm mostly on Facebook.
Right. Yes.
I'm trying to be on Instagram because some of our young trainees that came through the Nightmare Factory, I try to keep in touch with them there, you know, and of course through X, I'm still trying to kind of cross over to that. But yeah, just mainly social media there. And, I'm trying to become more relevant and more active with all of that because I know it will help our film. But yeah, I'm out there and I'm pretty easy to find if you just Google me. So.
All right. Awesome. Everybody check out The Unbreakable Bunch. Go to theunbreakablebunchmovie.com for more. Ray Glacier Lloyd, thank you so much for all the time. Really appreciate it.
And thank you, John. I really appreciate you letting me come on and talk about the movie, man.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
So you want to tell us what's going on here, partner?
Referring to the unscheduled alien infestation out here. Can kill them, but they don't die easy.
Yeah, well, neither do we.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.